there, Lord. It is in this space that we wait, anticipating a movement of your hand this morning, God. Holy Spirit, you are in us. We ask that you would just continue to stir up in us awe of the one who came. Thank you, Lord, that we have entered into a lineage of expectation. One where we can not just wait, but we can hope, believing that you, God, are active and you, God, are doing something, and that you, God, are present with us this morning and you have a word to say, God, you are with us. Thank you for that lineage of expectation that you have brought us into. That, God, you are not done yet. And we sense that this morning. The weight of your glory. The movement of your Spirit. The power of your word. And so we lower our guard this morning. And we ask that you would speak to our very hearts and souls, God. That we would come to know and experience, because of you this morning, freedom and safety like we've never known, God. So we lower our hearts and our guards, and we place ourselves in your hands. And we just pray, God, move. We are ready. Speak. We are listening. Have your way, King Jesus. And it is in your name, the name that is above every name, that we make this prayer to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Good morning, family. Morning, family. Hey, didn't the team this morning do well? Like, we need to just say thanks, team. So good. For the music, for the spoken word, for all the techie bits and pieces, for the creative team who have done an amazing job setting up this space, getting it ready for us to celebrate. Guess what? Christmas. Yeah, there we go. Nice, nice. So I know that it's a surprise that I'm up here this morning introducing this Christmas series. Now, but in all honesty, it is my honor, it is my privilege, and I am pumped this morning to be kicking off this series. But I'm not just pumped to be kicking off this series, I'm pumped to be kicking off this series because I am believing that God wants to do something through this series. He wants to speak directly to each one of us. He has something to say. And so, I invite you this morning to get excited about that. If you cannot get excited about Christmas, get excited that the eternal God who reigns over all things, who created all things, and in him all things hold together, has a word for you this morning. Can you get excited about that? Yeah? Can you? Oh my gosh. Do we need to do it like a 1, 2, 3? Can we get excited? 1, 2, 3. Can we get excited? Yeah. Yes. There we go. Sweet. We've just got to get it out, you know. Get it out. This morning, we are celebrating. And maybe throughout this morning, I'll just remind us that this morning we are actually celebrating. Anyway, thanks for joining us this Sunday during the best month of the year. And as I've said, I am pumped this morning. One of the main reasons that I love Christmas is because it is a season of celebration, joy, whatever you might want to put it. It is a season of celebration. There you go. There's the first reminder of what this morning is about. And if you don't know me, my name is Dave, and I like to party. Yeah, there we go. There we go. A little pop culture reference right there. But even with all the festivities and songs, like Joy to the World, all the good food, and yeah, basically that's it. With all of those things, Christmas can also be a season of anxiety and worry. Be it family dynamics. I mean, Christmas time, come on, the family getting together. It can get a bit fun for all, can't it? Yeah, let's acknowledge that. Yeah, okay, sweet. We've got a few in the house that resonate with that one. Be it finances. Yep, it's a season of giving. Generally, giving means spending, and so that can be, I don't know, a point of worry and anxiety. It could be the hurt of Christmas's past, things that have happened and wounds that have not yet healed. Or it could be loneliness or the fear of loneliness, that I might have to do Christmas on my own yet again, or maybe even for the first time this year. Whatever it might be, there are plenty of triggers that cause us to be afraid, to worry, or to be anxious. And fear, worry, or anxiety are not just contained to the season of Christmas. They are so prevalent in today's society. One of the biggest issues here in New Zealand culture is the level of anxiety that people are experiencing, from children to seniors. Nobody is exempt from anxiety this day and age, it seems. But one of the other main reasons that I love Christmas is because the story of Christmas that we read in the Bible speaks directly to fear, anxiety, and worry. This morning, you might be here experiencing some form of fear and worry. This morning, you might be here as a parent whose kid is moving out of home and heading to another city for university. That might be your situation, and that might be causing some feelings of anxiety or worry. Will he or she be okay? Have I done all that was needed for them to survive without me feeding them? Will they make it through the first week? You may be a business owner that is unsure about how you will pay your staff over this summer because of some financial situations that have taken place this year. Or you might be a business owner here thinking, I do not know what next year is going to look like. Did the decisions I make this year, will they pay off? You might be here this morning, recently unemployed. You might have someone close to you, or it may be you yourself, that is currently battling some form of sickness. Or you might be here this morning just completely overwhelmed with life, saying, I can't do it anymore. I can't handle this. It won't slow down. It's too big. There's too much pain. This morning, I believe that God wants to speak into these and every other situation that might be causing us to fear or worry, and say, fear not. Throughout the Christmas story, we read, whenever an angel of the Lord appears, they turn up, and what do they say? Here we go, let's do that one more time. And what do they say?
Yeah.
Fear not. Yep. That makes perfect sense, because a supernatural being just appeared before you. And so I'm going to say that my first instinct would be fear, would be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. But I also think that as they announce this, they are declaring a key message to a world that is caught in fear, that one was about to arrive that would ultimately deal to the power of fear once and for all. That as the angels declare, "Fear not," they were declaring the arrival of one who would ultimately deal with the power of fear once and for all. In Matthew chapter 1, we are introduced to Joseph, the to-be husband of Mary, who has just found out that she is miraculously pregnant after having slept with nobody. In that time, that was a major no-go. So Joseph, who we read is faithful to the law, but also doesn't want to publicly disgrace Mary, decides to quietly call off the wedding. And then we read in verse 20. So in case you're wondering where we are, we're Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. We're kicking off. It's up on the screen. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." How good is that line? Verse 24, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife." In verse 20, we read how Joseph considered, and we can easily glance over that without reading it with, I think and believe, the emotional weight of what was going on in that situation. The Greek word here for what we've translated as considered is, I'm no good with this word. I've literally practiced it quite a lot this week and I still can't seem to get it. It's like letters that shouldn't be joined together are joined together. So anyway, it's like enthumo mia hithera. It's nothing like that, okay? But basically, it is a Greek word, and correctly translated, it does mean to consider. It does. But the thing is that the word, or the root word that it is built on, which still carries a lot of weight, or basically tells us the type of considering that was going on here, is the word enthymi, which means passionate supposing, surmising, in a person's mind and heart, producing fervent inner contemplation. In other words, Joseph was feeling the weight of this decision as things seemed to be falling apart around him. And it was into that considering, that heart-wrenching, God, what is going on kind of situation, that the angel of the Lord tells Joseph to not be afraid, because the one that would be born to Mary would be God with him. Emmanuel. Sit on that for a moment. That the promise of God to Joseph in this event, which there is no way he would have guessed was going to happen to him, and this heart-wrenching, like stomach-turning kind of series of events, the angel says, "Joseph, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, because the one that will be born to her will be God with you." How amazing are those words? How amazing is that promise? And it is at that name, Emmanuel, that promise, God with us, that truth that the Christmas season celebrates and declares. There's the next reminder, okay? What are we doing? Celebrating. Nice, good stuff. Fear not. God is with us. That is something to celebrate. Whether you like Christmas or not, it doesn't matter. Fear not. God is with us. And it's not that there aren't reasons to fear anymore. This is something important that we need to pick up. There are so many things that come at us in day-to-day life that can cause fear or worry or anxiety. But we have one who is greater than anything that we could fear. We have one who is greater than anything that we could fear. And so I want to draw out 2 points from Joseph's story when it comes to the presence of God over the power of fear. The presence of God over the power of fear. And the first one is this, and it's simple. And it's not revolutionary, it's not kind of like game-changing, but this truth is transformative. And it is that God is with you in the undoing. God is with you in the undoing. I mean, Joseph's world was coming undone. His to-be wife was pregnant, and he had nothing to do with it. In a culture and society that for that offense was death. It was punishable by death. And so he's in the situation going, okay, seriously, what is going on right now? And God steps into that and through the angel tells him that he is present in the undoing. When it all seems to be falling apart and we are asking, why is this happening? God is with you. The undoing, the unraveling, isn't an indication of how present God is or the lack of his presence. He is faithful to his word and he said that he would never leave or forsake you. And so in the undoing, in the what is going on, God, that is not an indication of God not being with you. No, he is with you in that situation. He is present. Fear not, God is with you. The second one is this: God is with you in the unknown. Again, really simple. Joseph had no clue what would happen next when he woke up from his dream. It wasn't like he got like this 10 steps to successfully raising the Son of God. He had nothing. What he did have was a promise. Really important. What he did have was a promise. And it was into that he stepped. Verse 24, again, we'll read it. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph had no clue what would happen next when he woke from his dream, but what he did have was a promise, and it was into that he stepped. That promise is God was with him. The promise this morning is God is with you. And so in the situations that are unknown, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? What is going on? I'm so confused right now. Like in all of these situations that can cause us to fear and to worry and to be anxious, the promise of God is that I am with you in that. And so take a step out of that into what I have for you. I don't know what could be more comforting than knowing that the one who is over all and control of all is with me. With me. You see, God being with us doesn't necessarily change the situation or take the immediate pain away, and it definitely doesn't stop bad things from happening. But what it does do is it turns these situations from opportunities for fear to opportunities for faith. Big difference. The presence of God is what enables us to show faith, not in that everything is going right and as we thought that they should be, but in whatever is happening, God is with you. And so there is an opportunity to go, I will not fear, but I will step out in faith into what God has for me. I mean, it takes a lot of humility to do that. To go, God, I'm actually not in control. I recognize that you are, and I also recognize that you are with me. And I want to step out. And I know I just have to live today. But that is really hard. And I don't think we give it enough, I don't know, well, what's the word? We don't give it enough. You guys can literally help me here. I'm not playing along. Credit? Yeah. We don't give it enough credit for how hard that situation is. And we're always surprised when it comes along. It's like, oh, that's right. I'm not actually in control. And I actually do have to trust God, and I actually do have to step out in faith in this situation that seems to be coming undone and is completely unknown to me. But I do have the presence of God who is in control of all things with me. His Spirit is in me. Things change because of him. Faith in the one who came to save us. Faith in the one who is present with us. Faith in the one who is greater than anything that could cause us to fear. The presence of God is with you. His Spirit is in you. And so we can boldly declare this morning, who or what shall I fear? Who or what shall I fear? Like literally, Paul. This is a tangent. I'm going there. Paul is just like, they can kill us, they can persecute us, they can like put us in chains, they can do all of these things, but ultimately we can say, who shall we fear? And it's not that, oh, I'm in chains, I must have mucked up. It's, I'm in chains, thank God he's in control. Very different. It is an opportunity for faith, not fear. So the team is going to come up because we're going to end with a song that I believe that we really need to sing and like take note of its words. But as they're doing it this morning, I want to read from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. This is what I read this week, and I was like, thank you, Jesus, for these verses. I wouldn't have gone here, but man, they are good. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. There we go. There is Emmanuel right there. The Christmas story is very present in this verse. So that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. This morning, we are here celebrating the season of Christmas, but we must never lose sight of the person of Christmas. His name is Jesus, and he came, the Son of God, concealing his glory as a baby, to live 33 years and ultimately die on the cross so that we could inherit his peace. We could inherit his joy. We could inherit his delight. We could inherit the celebration that's been going on before the beginning of time in Godhead, in the Godhead himself. I'm going to read this again slowly, and I just want us to just like ponder these words. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is, the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. If the scariest thing that we can conceive of, death, no longer has a say, and I really don't want to say this like in an offensive or like using the word like poetically blasphemous way, then losing my job has nothing. Falling sick, it's got nothing. Some situation where the world is falling down or seems to be falling down around me, that has nothing on the power of God's presence in your life. And so this morning, family, what are we doing? We are celebrating, man, some people are onto it. Awesome. This morning, we are celebrating a good truth, a powerful truth, a beautiful truth. And this morning, this week, as I've been prepping, I felt it laid on my heart because I'm in this place myself, that there are people here this morning who have situations that may be massive or maybe not so big that are causing you to fear or to worry or to be anxious. And God wants to say to that, fear not, I am with you. I'm with you. But I also believe in the power of prayer and the community coming together and praying for one another. And so this morning, I want to put out an invitation that if that is you, to come forward, and just over here, we have a bunch of people who want to pray with you over that situation. You don't have to give details about the situation, but you can just say, I've just got a really anxious heart at the moment. And just let that person pray over that for you. That God would replace that fear with faith. That God would replace the sense of dread that is coming from it with the power of his presence. And so, I want to invite you to do that. To step out in faith and ask for prayer. This is a physical expression of going, I don't want to be anxious about the situation anymore. This is a practical outward showing that, nah, I'm tired of this. And it doesn't matter how big or small that situation is, if it is causing you to lose sleep or your appetite or whatever it might be, come up and be prayed for. That's the invitation this morning. And I would say one more thing to that. Fear would tell you to sit down. Fear would tell you to sit down. Don't come up for prayer. People are looking. What are they going to think? What are they going to think? I mean, you look like you've got it together. Do you want them to think that you don't have it together? Because, I mean, in reality, guys, I don't have it together. I will tell you that now. So hopefully that will disarm that thought. Fear will tell you to sit down. But let me say this. Kia ora, bro.
Too much temptation.
No? All right, sweet ass. Fear will tell you to sit down, but this morning, you need to tell fear that it no longer has a say. It no longer has a say. That we are in the presence of the mighty King of Heaven, that His Spirit is in us, and that He wants to shift us out of this position of worry and anxiety or fear into the hope and promises that He has for us. And I don't know what that is going to look like for you. I'm just going to stop there. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I do know that to be prayed for, to be prayed with, and to like give these things up to God as a community are so important. And so that is the invitation. So as we sing this song, please, if that is you, just come hang out with me. And there's going to be a bunch of other people there to pray for you. And we'll see, we'll give this to God and see what He does, eh? Yeah, I think that's the best way forward. Lord, I just right now thank You for the promise and the truth that You are with us. God, we are so thankful for that. So, so thankful for that. That we do not have anything to fear anymore because You are greater than anything that we could fear. And so, Lord, just as we ponder these things, is there situations in our lives that we need to give to You, I pray that by Your Spirit, You would just be stirring up in us those thoughts, those situations, that we would come forward and that we would just, as a community, pray together and laugh together and cry together and celebrate together, ultimately, that You are with us and that we have nothing to fear. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.